Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
The Usual Suspects with Joel Plank and Barry Laminack.
I'm punching this old man if he does this to me.
See, let's get this old man.
I'm fighting
because both of you guys are despicable first, for willing to punch a senior citizen.
Okay, first of all, this guy bought his ticket and is cheering for his team. And the old man is clearly telling him, stop hollering at a football game. And the Packer fan says, yeah, I can do that. And when he puts his hands up to his mouth, the old man grabs his hand. At that point, all bets are off. Be prepared to get punched. I don't care if you're 8 or 80. Well, maybe 8. I wouldn't punch an 8-year-old. I would.
He looks like he weighs 35 pounds.
Do you know what? Then don't go putting your hands on grown-ass men if you don't want to get punched.
I'd give him the benefit of the doubt to just grab him first.
Grab him where?
Just like grab his arms.
Grab his throat.
And restrain
him. Grab him right by his throat. Grab him in his neck. My point is, you can't go around putting your hands on people and not expect to catch an ass whooping when you do it. I don't care how old you are.
The Usual Suspects, weekdays from 1 to 4 on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Stream us on the official ESPN 97.5 app, presented by Sawgrass Steakhouse. KFNC on Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back. One in the books, two to go. Still 2 hours of the big show, so plenty of time to you for you to get in here and get involved in the show. 713-780-3776. That's our HRNP listener line. You can call, you can text, and also we're always available via Twitter if you do want to reach out that way. We basically haven't got to the rest of the NFL. We'll get there in a second, but before we turn the page on the Texans for to wrap up hour number one, Joe, patiently waiting, wants to talk about the Texans and O'Brien. Joe, what's up?
How you guys doing? This is my first time calling you guys, and I'm glad I was able to get through. I just want to say I was kind of frustrated yesterday with Bill O'Brien with the play calling. For the first maybe 2.5 quarters, we kept running the ball on first down, and it wasn't going nowhere, and we was always behind the chains on second down, which pushed Deshaun and harm's way of trying to get a first down on 38, 39. And I couldn't figure out for the life of me why they just didn't throw the ball, because the line wasn't getting any push on first down. Blue got a couple of good runs, but he wasn't in there the majority of the time. So it was kind of like we was playing from behind on the chain. And then Deshaun just won't throw the ball away. I'm hoping next year he adds that to his game, because if he doesn't, we're going to be behind the chains a lot.
All right, Joe, we appreciate the call, man.
So here's the thing. I wanted to, because I feel like we all buy into a narrative because it's easy, right? Like you and I will come on this show and talk about the fact that it's bad play calling. They run the ball on first down. And I think people hear that. It's not like we have some hot take that no one else is coming up with. This is something, it's a narrative that you hear on all the sports talk shows, on all the talking heads that think they know things about the Texans. But I'm sitting here as Joe is telling us that O'Brien ran the ball every time on first down, looking at the play-by-play charts. That's just not the case. That's not the case. I mean, they did not run the ball on first down every time. And I'm looking at the first half, first drive, they punted. The first play of the game was Lamar Miller on the right side, right? Second drive, first play of the game, Deshaun Watson, incomplete pass to Demaryius Thomas. Third drive, first play, pass to Akins for a first down. So after that first down, a incomplete pass to Hopkins. So there's two first downs with two passes And one drive. So, I mean, and then again, now once they got another first down, it was Lamar Miller to the right. But again, remember, this is an offense that's trying to set up the pass. But just to come out and say that they run the ball on first down every time, that's not true. You had six first downs and half of them were passes. So I feel like we get too caught up in a narrative, and it's easier to be lazy about that rather than looking at it, because then the next three was a pass, and a run.
Let's also not forget
on the same touchdown drive.
What we both said, when you're down early in the game, when you're down 17-7 at the half, the other thing is it doesn't lend itself to running the ball on first down. They're playing from behind. When they're playing from behind, you're right, because a lot of people just want to vent. They want to start pointing fingers. They want to just express their anger or their displeasure with the fact that their team finally lost a game. So what's the easiest thing to go to? Well, let's pick on Bill O'Brien and his play calling. Let's pick on the offensive line. Let's pick on the secondary. But you're losing sight of the big picture, which is we weren't getting these calls and we weren't having these people pick everything apart when you were winning 9 straight games.
That's right.
So just because you finally lost the game, and you only lost by 3. So just breathe. Take a deep breath. Step back. You got the Jets. Take care of business. You're going to win the division. Here's the other thing people are losing sight of. The Patriots lost 2 yesterday. So you're still tied with them.
And the Steelers.
They have the Steelers Sunday night, okay? If you beat the Jets, they lose to the Steelers. You got a game lead for the number 2 seed in the AFC. So you can point fingers. You can look at things that maybe had some breakdowns in terms of the overall makeup of the team. But overall, it ain't that bad.
Well, I mean, the Raiders did you a favor by beating the Steelers. You said the Dolphins did you a favor by beating the Patriots. So the Texans lose too. So the 3 teams in those top four spots lost. So that's okay. And by the way, they didn't lose by 3. The Texans lost by 90. Huh? You see what I did there? That's Clowney's number. What? I'm a professional. Okay. All right, I'm done. I deserve that. Totally deserve it.
Obviously, you guys know that I watched other football yesterday as
what?
Well.
What?
I'm just going to say
how'd
this.
How the Packers do?
Well, they won. They won big. But huh? Here's the thing. I've noticed Joe across the league. No. And please hope he's not the coach next year either. But here's the thing. You look at the Cowboys game. You look at the Packers game. There's so many games that I watched yesterday, and the overall narrative that I got is that's absolutely spot on. The officials still suck. They got so many calls wrong. I can't believe in the Dallas game, and I'll call it that, the Eagles game, however you want to call it. The opening kickoff, that fumble, how can you tell me that wasn't a fumble? And then they said, well, you couldn't clearly see who recovered it. You might not have gotten the guy's name off the back of his jersey, but you could pretty much see what team he played for. The offensive pass interference on the tight end for the Eagles was unbelievable. Here's the thing in the Green Bay game, too, because Ashton and other people were busting on Joe Philbin, saying, well, the Packers coach obviously shouldn't be the Packers coach because he blew both of his challenges in the first
90 seconds or whatever.
If you were just reading Twitter, then you could say that. If you were watching the game, Dean Blandino, who used to be the head of the officials for the NFL, came on and said, I don't know how anyone in the replay booth or otherwise, or the head official, could not have seen that replay and said that was an incomplete pass, but they ruled it complete. So then he throws the second one, and you can see his second foot is clearly on the white line, Julio Jones, so he was out of bounds. And Blandino kiddingly goes, you know what, it seems pretty obvious, guys, but if they blew the first one, this crew might be able to tell you something different that we didn't see. Sure enough, they called both of them in favor of the Falcons and the catch. It was Walt Coleman's crew. If you look at the stats on Walt Coleman's crew separately, they're really bad at getting calls right. But we think about how many times fan bases have said they're calling for the San Diego game where the blatant miss of the legal procedure on the offensive lineman for the Chargers led to a touchdown. They ended up beating the Steelers. They wanted that guy fired. Look, overall, you can't fire all the officials in the league, but the officiating has just been horrendous.
It has been bad for most of the year, and it's puzzling because I know that there are issues from year to year, but it just seems like they're exacerbated this year. Yeah. It seems like there's like really bad, not just some, but a lot.
Yeah, and they do it's a tough job too because they have to continue to update themselves in regards to all the rules. I mean, you saw what Clay Matthews was dealing with. I'm sure a lot of players had some mean things to say about a lot of officials this year considering the rules changes, and there's probably going to be more rules changes next season. You got to be up. You got to be quick. You got to be quick-witted. You got to be updated, and you got to execute the play calls
right away.
Did y'all hear, speaking of that, did you hear Jenkins' comments from the Eagles after the game in terms of the official and that fumble on the opening kickoff? Because you mentioned it. The players are suddenly going to start losing. You know, they're not going to worry about the fine. They're going to let it fly. Because he said, might want to stay off hitting that bottle. That's what I'd say to the replay officials in New York that watch that replay. So if he gets fined for that, it's a bad call. They blew it, but he's going to take the hit in the pocketbook because he's speaking out on the fact that I won't say it cost him the game, but it was a key play in that could have had an effect on the game. So
yeah,
I mean, so there's a lot we can get to there. It's just I'm surprised. We'll see if players aren't going to spout off more as we continue to roll.
You think they will? They like their money.
I think they like the money enough.
They like their money.
When you go back to Mike Tomlin and those guys, the first thing he's always going to say is, well, you guys aren't getting into my pocketbook.
No.
And you're not baiting me to get there. I'm not going to talk about the officials. But it's getting harder and harder because there's so many calls that are actually coming into play to affect the end of the game. At the end of the day, yeah. When you look at the scores, a lot of these scores are altered by the fact that these calls have been made. So we'll see what happens. But there was a ton to get to. You want to talk about unbelievable, the Patriots and Dolphins ending.
Crazy.
Patrick Mahomes.
Yep.
Some of the throws he made. I mean, you go up and down the list. Just that Eagles-Cowboys game in a nutshell was exciting to watch. So we got plenty more to get to. Lots of football to get to. And, of course, if you want to join the show, phone lines are wide open right now. 713-780-3776. HRNP and listener line where you can call, you can text, or you can hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. Right now, I tell you about my good people at Infuse Energy. It's Josh Pestikoff and his staff. They're a locally owned and operated energy company that has one thing on their minds, and that is making sure that you know that they are honest, they're like a trusted friend, and overall, more than anything else, they're going to give you a great energy plan and a great rate. And they're never going to try and screw you over. If that means you go with somebody else, so be it. If that means that they actually are honest with you enough to tell you that there's somebody out there offering a better rate, they're going to do that. Because in the long run, they're going to have you remember the fact that they were honest, and you'll come back to them. I'm telling you, I made the switch a little over a year ago. I've saved thousands off my bill from year to year from the energy provider I was with previously because of the fact that they took the time to ask me questions. They set up a plan that worked for me and my family, and they gave us a rate that is absolutely fantastic. And way better than we were getting from the other big name company that we were with in the past. They want to build relationships, so they're going to be honest with you. And that's all you can ask for with an energy company is they take the time to learn about you. All you got to do is go to infuseenergy.com or better yet, give them a call, 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732. Right off the top, you mentioned ESPN 97.5, you get a $25 bill credit, and they'll go from there. It's 100% green energy at your fingertips, and it's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. You got to infuse energy into your life.
I see you there. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling on. Hour number two, 3-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Nick, Barry, and Joel all in studio on a Monday. And I will say this, I'll leave it up to you fellas, but we were talking about the Texans, but it was a pretty incredible weekend of football in the NFL. Obviously, timing was right, too, with not much happening in college other than the Army-Navy game. And in terms of games being played. So the NFL picked a great weekend to have a lot of close games, overtime games, big games. I'll leave it to each one of you. What was the biggest game other than the Texans or the game that stands out to you as being the best game that you watched? Or saw highlights of because you were traveling.
I was going to say, I was lucky to get probably to watch the Texans game.
So. You say Chiefs.
Probably the Chiefs because it went to overtime. The Chiefs had to deal with some injuries. Tyreek Hill had a wrist issue. He was on the sideline.
And a foot.
Yeah, and they were still able to pull that out. I mean, Mahomes did well.
Did you guys see the throws he made?
The no-look throw?
Yeah, the no-look throw, which was unbelievable. But then just to one-up his own throw, 4th and 9, going to his right, throwing across his body, yeah. Connecting... in a pretty tight window. I mean, obviously, it wasn't like, a pinpoint. But at the same time, just to make that throw, and ex-quarterbacks, no matter where you were watching the highlights, were telling you, it's just unheard of that a guy can make that throw that way with that accuracy. boy, that dude right there, he was on fire yesterday.
Yeah, and that, I mean, big for them for a lot of reasons. But I don't know, man. It's kind of hard to pick because the Browns handing the Panthers their fifth loss in a row. Bears with a big win over the Rams. Raiders beating the Steelers. I mean, the Dolphins beating the Patriots. If I had to pick just one, I would probably just say, just because of who they are, it would be the Dolphins Patriots.
But the way it ended.
Don't sleep on that Raiders Steelers game, because everyone felt like, you know, the Steelers were really rounding into shape and playing well, and they go out there and choke one away, and that was their opportunity to kind of make a move within that top four in the AFC. So they all kind of Texans. We talked about it, Texans, Patriots, and the Steelers all laid an egg yesterday. So.
I'll say this before we get off that Chiefs game though: that no look pass. I thought literally when I saw it first, I saw it on a computer, and I was like, "Oh, someone altered that. Come on, man!" And then when I saw the different shows with the different replays, and I forget who it was, but an ex-player made the comment, which is really accurate, which is when everybody makes the comments about quarterbacks, just got to let it go. You just got to sling it. But the fact that he not only had the confidence to sling it and was like throwing caution to the wind, I'll take my chances with it, but then to have the ability to put it where it needed to be, he's special, that kid. Now, everybody's saying because of that game that he's catapulted to the top of the MVP race again. I'm not going to go that far.
I did hear somebody say, yeah, that was his resume.
But it was clincher. Impressive. Yeah, I'm not going to go that far, but it was impressive.
Who would you have in front of him right now?
I mean, here's the thing. He caught some breaks because, Gurley didn't have a big game. Aaron Donald didn't have a big game. I think Drew Brees right now, to me, the Saints didn't do anything, haven't done anything wrong. They now, because of the Rams loss that you mentioned, are the number one team in the NFC again. And when you look at what they're doing, how they've done it, you mentioned 10 in a row, and the fact that, you know, he is the orchestrator of that offense. I got to believe that Brees is up there with Mahomes. Are you big on a defensive player winning the award?
I don't think that's going to be
the case. I don't think so either.
But yesterday, I mean, when you look at Brees, he had, 200 yards and one touchdown, one interception. Mahomes has 377 yards, a couple more touchdowns, did have the interception. But I think he's the leader in the clubhouse right now, Mahomes. Okay. I feel like this is his MVP to lose at this point.
I'll tell you the other guy don't sleep on, Russell Wilson. And we'll see what he does tonight.
He's playing well. But they were my pick for the week with AJ.
He's also taking a team that really no one gave him a chance to do anything, and then their defense fell apart even more during the season. And they are going to be—they're on the verge. Whoever wins this game is going to be a playoff team,
okay,
I think, between the Vikings and Seahawks tonight. So I think Russell Wilson's had a hell of a season, but you're right. I think right now it's between Mahomes and Brees. The easiest thing, too, is to say, what have you done for me lately? And lately, Mahomes was on fire, and like you mentioned, Brees didn't have a great game. But, you know, we'll see how – it's going to be neck and neck going down the stretch.
Yeah.
So that's fun. You said the Chiefs, but I'll tell you this. Than any of that Dolphins-Patriots game.
Man.
And I don't know, you make fun of the name of it, but, you know, first thing I do when I wake up in the morning is I turn on the ESPN. And so I eventually get to get up. Did you see Rex Ryan this morning? You guys happen to see that?
I did not.
Gloating?
He literally was gloating, and he was like, you know, I'm on this show. And he goes, maybe next year I'll have a job, maybe I won't. But he goes, I got to be honest with you. If you hate the Patriots, or if you've ever hated the Patriots, I'm loving every bit of this right here. I mean, I'm going to tell you something right now, guys. The fact that you see the team that's not supposed to be making mistakes all over the place, I love it. And people were just killing him because he was not holding back.
Say what you want about him, man, but that's entertaining.
He's
you know
funny,
I mean?
Yeah.
God, that is entertaining. Funny.
And he likes feet. But that's a different story. Okay, you want to get Adam in here before we go to break?
Let's
Adam wants to change gears a little bit, talk XFL. Adam, what's up?
What's up, man? I wanted to talk about the XFL. And has y'all heard anything about a team name or perhaps maybe the colors of the team? I just wanted y'all input about that.
I think it's pretty early. It's in the fetal stages of the fact that it was just named. The Houston was just named to have a franchise.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be like TBD as they continue to, you know, kind of get their groundwork set, the foundation laid, and keep going from there. But I'm sure people are going to start clamoring for the...
What would you name them? And please don't text the Houston
humidity.
Traffic cones.
Or the
We've
humidity.
Already been down that road. I think maybe like the Houston... Because that's probably going to be everybody's attitude about it.
I mean, if you listen to some of the other names, the Thunderbolts, the Enforcers.
Oh, my God. What?
The Rage, the Extreme, the Outlaws, the Maniacs with an X.
This sounds like teams on American Gladiator.
Yeah, the San Francisco
That doesn't
Francisco
sound like
Demons.
A football team.
The Demons.
So you had the Gamblers when they were in the USFL. And we all know that the Wildcatters and all the ones that were suggested when the Texans were looking for a name. But, I mean, stereotypically, what are you going to hear about? You're going to hear about cowboy-like, gunslinging type, you know, oil well, you know. It's the same old, you know, space. Can we mix it up a little and find something?
Yeah, that would be nice.
Can we just call them the Houston Flood?
See, I'm not a big fan of team names that don't have...
I don't know what else there is, but we pretty much exhausted most of them.
But where the team name is supposed to be plural, but it doesn't have an S at
the
end.
So what were some
like
of the
Lightning
other ones?
Or Jazz. So, I think those were the original team names.
Well, that
like
used
from
to be a great trivia question. To name in all three of the major sports, or four major sports, can you name the only teams that don't end in S?
Jazz for NBA.
And there used to only be three. It used to be the Red Sox, the White Sox, and the Jazz.
Yeah.
And now, there's a lot more. They've mixed it up a little bit. Yeah.
Is the Lightning Heat. A team in the WNBA?
Heat,
no,
Magic.
That's Tampa Bay Lightning.
Heat, oh, okay. Magic.
Hockey.
Lightning.
Oh, I'm a big fan of them. The Tampa Bay Lightning.
All right, yeah, I can tell.
Yeah.
So,
do they play in Tampa
There's
Bay?
A lot more now, yeah.
Oh, okay. Huge yeah, I'm a big fan. Yeah.
I can tell. Are you leaning a certain way? Do you have an idea?
I don't, because I think the whole thing is just kind of, that's why I said call them the Houston Whelp. I mean,
Welp.
No.
So you're not expecting
the meh.
Big things to come from the XFL?
No, I think it's going to be much ado about nothing because it'll probably be gone in 2 years. If I set the over under at 2.5 years, what are you taking on how long it lasts?
I'm going to take the under.
Yeah, I am
honestly.
Too.
I'm going to take the over.
Really?
Not because I think it's going to last and not eventually go defunct. I just think they have some deep pockets. And they can make this thing last a couple years, even if it's not successful.
But as we
That's
talked about last week, if they were smart about this, they would have chosen lesser-tiered markets instead of going to NFL markets in the biggest cities in the nation and expecting them there to be this outcrying of support as opposed to San Antonio, or I said college towns, or places that are clamoring for more sports, more professional sports. But putting them in the backyard of the Texans or in New York where there's two teams already and expecting to get results and attendance and I just don't see it.
So here's the cities. Dallas, Houston, L.A., New York, St. Louis, Seattle, Tampa Bay, and D.C. So Dallas obviously is going to be the Dallas Beehives because all the women have big hair, right?
they're going to be the Dallas Clean because they're the cleanest city in Texas.
Which I had a discussion with several people about that, and we all decided that, yes, Dallas, the Fort Worth Metroplex, is probably the cleaner, more advanced city, like technology-wise and streets and all that.
Right.
But as far as the people, hands down, Houston, we have the best people. Like, the way we treat people, the way we interact with each other, hands down.
Way to bounce back from that. Good job.
Yeah,
right?
So we got that going
I'm just saying,
for
we just had that
which
discussion.
Is nice.
So I think what? So it's the L.A. homeless. No,
that's not nice.
The New York Cabs.
That's not nice.
The St. Louis Idiots. I don't know what St. Louis is famous for. The Arches. The St. Louis Arches. No. And you can just
sponsored
have like
by
a foot.
McDonald's.
You know, you just have a foot with an arch on it. The Seattle Hipsters. The Tampa Bay Old People. And the D.C. Crackheads.
Oh, what a shot.
So what do we got? And then the Houston Rednecks. I think we nailed it. I think we got all the cities in. We're good to go. Okay. Oh, now you bail on me. See, when I have good ideas, you want to share them. Now I'm on my own.
I'm going to the Seattle.
I see how it is.
I'm going to Seattle Sasquatch.
See what he did? When I have a good take, he's all in. Not now. I think the Houston Rednecks makes sense. Does it not?
I didn't argue with the Rednecks. Some of the other ones is the ones where
what?
I had
it. Which one? Where did I go wrong? The Dallas Beehives.
The Idiots. St.
The
Louis.
Idiots wasn't good.
Yeah, the St. Louis
Crackheads
Idiots.
Isn't good.
I mean, I feel like these are all, don't you use things that describe the area?
It's a super intelligent
was
people
Was it the mayor
Louis.
Of D.C. on crack
yes,
at one
was.
Point?
Yes.
Okay. Where did I go wrong in that assessment? The Tampa Bay old people. Where am I wrong in that?
It's like the population predominantly old people in Tampa.
Yeah, and then you know how like the Rockets have the Rocket logo
yeah.
for the sponsors? Yeah. Like the Tampa Bay would have the AARP on their jersey. And Luby's. They would be sponsored by Luby's and AARP.
Well, John asked for this, and you gave it to him.
There you go.
There you have it. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. We're at the midway point in the show. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776. Call, text, or hit us up on Twitter before we hit the break. I know that you guys are out there. You're playing golf. You love to play golf, and it's a challenge every single time you tee it up. You want to lower your score. You want to have more fun on the course. Well, PXG has the answer for you. They're engineered clubs that launch higher, fly farther, feel softer, and provide more forgiveness and accuracy than any other club you will put in your bag. And what do the reviews say? Golf writers describe them as absolutely remarkable and the best golf clubs out there on the market today. PXG Tour pros describe them as undeniably the best and the real deal. PXG customers call them insanely good. They live up to the hype. On top of that, PXG clubs have won on every major tour around the globe and even an NCAA national championship. So what are you waiting for? Step up your game, enjoy golf more than ever, and play well with clubs that are going to help you play better every time. You can schedule a fitting right now at the club at Carlton Woods in the Woodlands, or you can call 844-PLAY-PXG, 844-PLAY-PXG, or visit pxg.com to book a custom fitting. PXG, nobody makes golf clubs the way we do, period.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 90 in the books, 90 still to go in the big show. It's The Usual Suspects on a Monday right here at ESPN 97.5. Nick's here, Barry's here, I'm here, and we continue to roll on. Fellas, interesting stat as we kind of wrap up the NFL chatter for a little bit. Passer ratings for quarterbacks in games versus the Rams this season. Russell Wilson, 132.5. We mentioned him as an MVP candidate. Loss. Second game against the Rams, Russell Wilson, 123.2. Loss. Patrick Mahomes, 117.6, loss. Kirk Cousins, 117.3, loss. Phillip Rivers, 105.7. Aaron Rodgers, 102.9, both losses. Mitch Trubisky, 33.3, win.
What does that tell you?
That was an awful football game if you're an offensive football fan.
Go in and suck, and you'll win.
But, man, the combination of the weather and the defense, whew. I mean, it was a slugfest, but that's a good win for the Bears.
Bad weather, good defense is a good recipe for a win.
Memo to the rest of the league. Rams don't want to play in cold weather.
Nope.
Nope.
No. I don't know why I sounded like Trey right there. Here's some text. Barry, how do you get to feature for a comic you don't know? Do they see your work and request you, or does the club manager set it up? Just curious. That's from Walt. He said, P.S., I saw Keisha Hunt Saturday. She's hilarious. Keisha is hilarious. I think we've featured her on the show before.
I think we have.
Yeah, she's very funny. No, the way it works is a lot of times I book my own gigs. I'm just not big enough to have a manager or an agent. And occasionally someone will request me, but it's rare. But usually I'm just reaching out to all the clubs that I work and just asking, hey, what weekends do you have open? And here's what I have. It's called sending avails. And that means sending your availability to the club. So I'll send avails like every Monday morning I wake up and I send out avails to all the clubs that I haven't worked in a while. So I just send them, here's my schedule for the next 3 months that I'm booked. So what do you have on the dates that I'm open? And that's how it works.
Cool.
Exciting, right? a couple of other things. Rodgers isn't catching enough heat, Joel. If he were a losing Cowboys quarterback, he'd be getting torched. McCarthy is the scapegoat. Agree or disagree?
I mean, look, I think McCarthy's going to be the scapegoat no matter what, because Aaron Rodgers is the most expensive player in the league, yeah. Signed to a long-term deal. He's not going anywhere. You know, everybody was going to say, oh, he played so good yesterday. The offense looks so different. It's the same offensive coordinator. It's the same offense. So for whatever reason, did they have a little spring in their step? Did they play a little differently? Maybe, but they're not playing for anything either. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, everybody's good. Again.
So you disagree.
I disagree. I agree and I disagree because here's the thing.
What I can't do both.
I can because here's the thing. Why is it that it's a front page story on ESPN and on SportsCenter that Aaron Rodgers broke the record for most throws without an interception? That's great, but he's playing in a games in games that don't matter. Great award, but you know what? If he was having a hell of a season, we would have just mentioned him alongside of Patrick Mahomes and Drew Brees, mm-hmm. and we didn't.
Yeah.
So there's plenty of blame to go around.
I think you have to make him a scapegoat. I mean, even if Aaron Rodgers has a bad year, if I'm the team owner and I had to pick between Aaron Rodgers and McCarthy, sure,
exactly.
Yeah, sorry.
Exactly.
Like, love me some Mike McCarthy, but sorry.
Yep. I mean, yeah. No, I'm with you.
Yeah. Yep.
Hey, Barry, with all this rain, my lawn just can't get dry. Is there anything I can apply to it to help it dry? That was from Iggy Squeeze. So, Iggy, what you do is get you an extension cord and a hair dryer. And just kidding. Don't do that. They do sell something that you can put down on your lawn that'll absorb water. A lot. It's just not worth it. It'll dry on its own. It'll eventually fix itself.
I think the Astros groundskeeper has a little extra if you need it.
So, by the way, NASCAR Johnny tweeted at me. So I had posted a picture on social media of our Christmas trees. I was pretty stoked about it. I love Christmas. Why did you make that face?
Because I was going to say, if you didn't catch heat, and we give you a hard time about Laminack Manor, but how many Christmas trees you got in that house?
Four.
Holy
four
cow.
Christmas trees?
Four.
I only posted three. Two of them are like, no, they don't, they're
four.
They're just,
dude, you're trying
so
to
you
get the Charlie Brown
and
Christmas tree
ones,
to work
saying.
At your place, Nick.
Still a little much.
You're trying to get that Charlie Brown Christmas tree. Four trees in one house.
Hold on.
That's Let a massive ass house.
One of them
is what, 27 feet?
One of them is just like a foot and a half with just lights on it. That's it. And it's just sitting in the kitchen on the little thing where we keep the china or whatever. So it's just right there. No big deal. And then she has like a 2-foot tree in the dining room that takes like 5 minutes to decorate. It's just this little thing for when you walk in. Now we have our old tree from our old house, which I think is 8 foot or 10 foot. But we so
decent sized Christmas tree.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
So it's like an 8-foot tree, right? But that was at our old house. We had it for 13 years.
You're not getting rid of it?
Why throw it away, right?
So you put it upstairs for the guests? Or?
No. So when we moved in our living room, we have 18-foot ceilings. If you put an 8-foot tree in a room with 18-foot ceilings, it's going to look like a shrub. So we had to buy a new Christmas tree. So we take the 8-footer and we put it in our bedroom. We used to put it in my office, but that's where my drums are. So she put it in the bedroom this year. Why throw it away? That doesn't make sense. And then, of course, we have I think it's... a 15-foot tree in the living room.
How long did it? I was just gonna say. How long
now
did
that
it,
one is a little excessive. How long did it I'll take? Admit that. But the rest of it, that's why we have four trees. Two of them are like $50 little 2-footers. It's not that big of a deal, but one of them's pretty. But yeah. Yeah, people are just acting ridiculous on Twitter.
I figured you were going to catch heat from that.
Oh, you got three trees, man. That radio's been good. No, once you hear the explanation, it's pretty underwhelming.
Yeah,
well,
there's why four, not three. And
well,
it did take about a month to get the one from Rockefeller Center into your living room.
But NASCAR Johnny tweets at me, or his wife tweets and goes, "See, Johnny, why won't you let me have three Christmas trees?" And he replies and says, "Because Barry loves his wife more."
That set him up for a pleasant week, I'm sure.
He's not getting nookie for like 2 months.
Nora
so
went
funny.
All out. That big tree, the
beautiful,
decorations on that,
dude.
Fantastic.
And she did it this weekend while I was gone. And this is my favorite part of Christmas, is that when the house is decorated, it feels like the holidays. And I just love it. It makes me happy to see the house decorated. So she knows that. So when I was gone, she decorated the whole house. And so I was excited when I got home. So I like it. I like Christmas. I like the holidays. It's
evidently
fun.
With four trees. You know, the studio's kind of bare. If you want to bring one in here and maybe
no.
add some festive nature to Gal Media, you know, I'm sure you've got another one or two laying around
but
on the back
goes,
40.
She does take, like, she's a, she gets precise with it. Like, she's like a perfectionist. So, but no, I was proud of it. She did a great job. She made the house feel like Christmas. She made it feel fun. So,
and we're just picking on you. There's a lot of people that are super festive.
Yes,
come Christmas
I love
time.
Yeah. I love Christmas. I love to buy her gifts. I like to spoil her on Christmas. I love the gift giving side of it. I like to get stuff for the family.
I'm just shocked that you actually buy your Christmas trees. I figured they like grew in your backyard and you're cutting them down.
You just chop another one down. And they'll grow back.
They're fake, you idiot.
You have whatever. So many to
I'm not
choose
buying
from.
An 18 foot tree every or 15
you
every
don't have
year.
To buy them. The back 40's got what? At least 1,000 or two different sizes.
No, we're not growing our
you
own.
You can put
damn
them in each
trees.
Room in the house now.
Speaking of, we need to talk about this baby. It's cold outside. Next segment. Apparently. You're not allowed to sing that song. You're not allowed to play that. It's being banned from radio stations around the country, and I'll tell you why in the next segment. But what I will tell you is this weekend I got to hang out with Kid from Kid and Play, do shows, and we drank a lot. We drank a whole lot. And I am super thankful that Thrive Plus exists, because you can't go to bed at 5:30 and get up at 8 in the morning and expect to be okay. That Thrive Plus comes in handy, man. And if you drink, even if it's just a couple of drinks, man, get you some Thrive Plus. It's going to make you feel so much better. I was great all weekend because I took my Thrive with me. I always do when I'm on the road, because that's when I'll normally drink more so than when I'm at home. I take my Thrive Plus with me. It's super easy to do, too, man. All you do is take 3 capsules after your last alcoholic beverage or right before you go to bed. And what it does, it's designed to reduce alcohol's negative effects by giving your liver what it needs to process alcohol and its toxic byproducts. And I'm not a genius. I'm not a scientist. I don't know how the body works necessarily. But all I know is that Thrive Plus works. And you've probably seen it on Shark Tank. You know that I've told you before, they've got PhDs on staff. They've got Ivy League grads on staff. So this isn't just something that was thrown together by a bunch of dudes sitting around in a living room. This is legitimate stuff, and it works. And to prove it, if you don't feel 50% better the next day after you drink and take your Thrive Plus, they'll give you your money back. So it works. You got to get you some. And whether it's 1 drink, 5 drinks, or 15 drinks that you got for free, get your 3 capsules of Thrive Plus and you will feel so much better the next day. And they're a Houston company. Order today before 4 p.m. You'll have it on your doorstep tomorrow. How cool is that? If you want to get your order in, you can find it on Amazon. Just search for Thrive Plus. Or better yet, go to DecideThrive.com. That's DecideThrive.com. Get your order in before 4 so you can have it tomorrow. I don't drink without Thrive Plus, and neither should you.
ESPN. 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back. Just wrapping up the second hour of the three-hour extravaganza. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We'll be joined by the sports mappers at the top of the hour from 94.1 FM as well. Simulcasting till 4, then the Blitz will do the same and take you all the way home till 7 o'clock. So, with that being said, we've covered a lot of ground. If you've missed anything, ESPN975.com. Click on the show tab. Catch the almost 2 hours that you've missed. But with a lot of football.
Yeah, so NASCAR Johnny said, my wife just texted me and asked how come I don't love her. I said, I see you read my response to Barry. She laughed and said, stop acting tough. So they got called out. Well, good for them. You could tell that's real love. If you could say that to your wife and get away with it, good for you. Somebody wants to know, any chance the Jalen Smith Cowboys linebacker is in the discussion for MVP?
No.
I don't think so, no.
Hey, had a hell of a year. Great comeback story and everything else, but yeah. Nope.
Somebody said name the Houston XFL team the Houston Comets, because nobody's going to watch them either.
Ouch. Wow. I had
excellent.
To.
Excellent. Excellent text. Yeah. Why does a Jewish guy have 4 Christmas trees? Okay. You know what? That's not how that works at all, sir. Joel called it. He's been a Murray advocate all year. Barry probably dug up his tweets from the third grade.
What's that mean?
I think someone thinks that you were on the Murray bandwagon. I think you were a Tua guy.
I said Tua was going to win it, but I said that if you just go by stats alone, that Murray should win it. But
I've been making the case for Murray for 3 weeks.
I was shocked, by the way, that he actually won it, because I thought just the national media bias and the Alabama bias.
He had the better year, though.
No question about it. No doubt about it.
Yeah, don't start to giving Joel credit for when I'm right, because it's rare. It's rare.
No, I thought you were the one that said that Haskins was going to finish second.
Huh?
To Tua. I thought you started the discussion last week.
No, nice try.
Okay, go back and listen.
I was making the case for Murray because he statistically, I even said, if you take out the fact that Tua set out in the fourth quarter, if you did the same with Murray, as a listener pointed out, his numbers were better. I mean, he had the better year statistically. And Haskins had a good year. I mean,
Haskins had a great year.
It wouldn't have surprised me if he would have finished second. It really wouldn't have to Tua. So I thought Tua would win because of the media, but I felt like Murray deserved to win.
I thought we were both in agreement on that, but yeah.
Okay. So this whole It's Cold Outside thing.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this song called Baby It's Cold Outside, and it's I think the most famous one is Dean Martin. who sang it.
Played it on the they played it a lot on the Ed Sullivan Show, Nick. When you were watching.
You would never have seen it. But so apparently a lot of radio stations around the country are now banning this song because the environment that we live in, people are hypersensitive to everything, and they've dove into the lyrics and said basically the song "Baby It's Cold Outside" is kind of rapey.
Baby, it's cold outside. But baby, it's cold outside. Been hoping that you drop in.
Here's the lyrics to start off with. I really can't stay. This is the chick, right? So she always sings first. Mm-hmm. I really can't stay. He says, baby, it's cold outside. I got to go away. Baby, it's cold outside. This evening has been hoping that you drop in. So very nice. My mother will worry. My father will be pacing the floor. He's like, listen, it's cold out. Don't leave. Basically, the song is this chick's trying to go, and he's trying to convince her to stay, and he won't take no for an answer. I feel like we're just...
to reach.
It's close because there is one part in here. Where he says, she says, I ought to say no, no, no. And he says, you mind if I move closer?
now that line there.
That's a little, and then she says, at least I'm going to say that I tried. And he says, what's the sense of hurting my pride? I really can't stay, but baby, don't hold out. So it has its moments, but now they've done a remix of it. And they have a baby, it's cold outside, where they say stuff like, baby, it's cold outside. Baby, just go outside. I really can't stay. Okay, you're free to go. I've got to go away. Understood, no means no. I simply must go. Uber is right outside. This is the remix. Don't remix. Just don't play it. But that's stupid. Don't ruin Christmas with your dumbass remix of a song. If it's rapey, it's rapey. Okay, then just don't play it anymore, and it'll go away on its own.
The daughter of Dean Martin, Deanna Martin, plans to continue performing the song regardless of the criticism that's been circulated around the country.
Yeah, I think she's like, no, it wasn't rapey. I think he was just being pushy.
Written in 1944.
Could be horny. Could be horny. He's trying to get her to stay. It doesn't mean that he's being like
forceful.
Forceful, right?
Well, I mean, you know, Kevin Hart's tweets were written in 2010.
Well, you mentioned the Heisman. So now Kyler Murray's getting called out too.
Oh,
yeah. Someone took the time to go all the way through his tweets
when he was like 14.
When he was 14 years old.
Oh no, are we really doing that now?
Yeah,
we're doing that to folks when they were 14.
He used the Q word. I'm not going to say it.
Quotient?
No.
Quagmire.
The I for the straight guy.
Oh. And? Are you serious?
I'm telling you, that's it. Look, he was 14 years old. I'm not going to be the guy that digs up that tweet and criticize him for it.
That's the biggest thing that someone made the point on.
But the word queer, I don't believe is offensive. If you think about this, there's the LGBTQ community, correct? Guess what the Q is in LGBTQ? Queer. How is that offensive?
If you call somebody else, meaning queer, that he's homosexual, and you use it as an insult and you say that word, it is offensive.
Okay, so if I were to say, hey, Joel, nice sweater, you look like a lesbian, is that offensive?
I don't think so.
Can't
so
be.
Then why would it be offensive to use the other letters in that LGBTQ?
Why don't you just say when you wear a hat and Tyler sees.
Yeah, Tyler told me I look like a lesbian when I wore a hat.
Yeah.
I don't think that's offensive.
I think the bigger...
The F word, definitely offensive.
Yeah, but definitely. The bigger point, too, is this is where you just kind of like what you're talking about with Baby, It's Cold Outside. The bigger point that someone made on Twitter is someone took the time, the minute he won the Heisman, to go back with a fine-tooth comb, go all the way back when the kid was 14 years old to find something on him. And we also talked about athletes learning their lesson and entertainers and Kevin Hart and all these people. If you haven't figured it out before, you better figure it out now, because it's not going to get any easier. It's going to be worse when people start going through everybody's tweets and everything that they've put out.
I said it before, I'll say it again. You say it's offensive, I say it's presidential. So, it's whatever. Austin, do we have time to get Austin's call in real quick? Austin, you have 30 seconds, my man, because we're up against a break. He wants to talk about Baby, It's Cold Outside. What's up, Austin?
Hey, man. I saw something on Facebook. I think it's the best way to try to explain how the song actually isn't that bad. Essentially, what it is that if you think about it, instead of he's convincing her to stay, she's convincing herself. Because back in those days, if you think about it, she shouldn't even be with him at that time of night in the 40s. So it's kind of like, really, it's the timing the song was wrote about, as well as, like, she's trying to convince herself, like, you know what? No, I should stay inside. I should stay inside. I should do this.
All right. Be out there. Yeah, good point, Austin. I didn't think of it that way. But, yeah, back in the day, they looked at it a little bit different.
I'm not going to figure out why he was thinking about it that way. But I get it.
It's okay. Even in the lyrics where she talks about the neighbors might think something's up.
Okay. All right, hey, we got two of the books, 1 hour still to go to the big show, so don't go anywhere. We have the last hour coming up. Before we go to break, I do want to tell you about Infuse Energy. Josh Pesikoff and his staff doing a fantastic job here in Houston, Texas, to make sure that they take care of Houstonians with great energy prices, unbelievable contracts, and a perfectly tailor-made setup for you. Whether your energy usage is for personal or for professional, it's for the job, it's for the family, it doesn't matter. They're going to set you up, they're going to be 100% honest, and they're going to make sure that you get a plan and a rate that works for you. It's Houston owned and operated, like I said, so you're not going to deal with big companies and automated systems. You mentioned ESPN 97.5, you get a $25 bill credit right off the top, and the system and the process goes from there. InfuseEnergy.com is where you can catch them online, or better yet, give them a call, 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732. Like I said, a human being is going to be on the phone asking you as many questions as you ask them to get the perfect plan for you. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back and 100% green energy at your fingertips. Infuse energy into your life.
I fly like paper, get high like planes. If you catch me at the border, I got visas in my name.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two-fourths of the British podcast No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.